Welcome to A Patch of Happiness. This is for you, the person who truly wants to live their best life possible, to grow, to expand, and to jump into the unknown, to love yourself, and to have fun. I'm Anna Patch. I'm an actress, model, and mindset coach. I am an all-round creative and entrepreneur. Creativity runs through my blood, and I wouldn't change it for the world. Every day I am learning and growing within and about myself, jumping into this scary but rewarding unknown. And that's what I'm here to help you with. We will talk all things mindset, manifestation, the law of attraction, the ego, health, wealth, and the universe, but also creative endeavors such as acting, modeling, and all things involved. So without further ado, let's jump into it. Are you ready? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Patch of Happiness. It's Anna Patch, your host, and today we have episode 2 of the ISO Diaries with Anna, and we have a very exciting guest on today. His name's Dave Beamish. Dave is a film actor and writer and location scout based in Vancouver, which is very exciting. He originally started in the industry about 7 years ago and has worked on Neighbours for you, those in Australia and the UK especially, and Facebook's Limetown opposite Jessica Biel. And most recently, which is super cool, you can see Dave in season 1 of Batwoman on the CW network, which is so cool. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Anna. It's good to be here. Thank you for that lovely intro.
That's okay. Do you want to let people know a little bit about yourself and your story, whatever you feel called to share?
Sure. As you say, my name's Dave Beamish. I am located in Vancouver. That's where I base myself. But for those listening and watching, you can probably tell that I am Australian. I am Aussie Kiwi, so, and proudly so. So I started my journey in film when I was living in Brisbane, where I grew up for most of my years, and then moved to Melbourne, where I lived for about 2.5 years, working around the place, doing indie films, and amassing an amazing bunch of friends that I still miss over here. And since I think it was around that time that I started to get into making my own work. So that led me into making some proof of concept trailers. So I wrote them, I produced them, and out of necessity ended up directing them. And then the final weekend before I moved to Vancouver, I made my first short with about 3 weeks prep and from scratch, basically. Over 3 weeks, it was going to be a pickup, and then it became a short film, and then we lost our location, and then we found another one, and that kind of lit that little thing in the back of my head that was like, location scouting's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that.
And stressful, but awesome. that we then released that film a year later at the we premiered at the Veterans Film Festival last year, because we had over 20 vets involved in making the film, and 10 of them on camera. So it was amazing. It was really, really cool. And now we're currently in post again, doing a re-edit to take it to a North American audience. So we're awesome. Through cutting it again. We've almost got picture lock, and then we'll color grade it in Melbourne, and then so it's Queensland editor, then Melbourne colorist, and then we'll be doing sound design in Vancouver and finishing off VFX in Vancouver as well.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the filmmaking side, and location scouting is something that just happened kind of organically here. I was paying the bills when I moved here over 2 years ago, because I finished my IEC visa, and now I'm submitted for permanent residency here. So yes. And for those of you playing at home, I have started a film mentorship hub, I guess you would say, basically a place where all that information about for film people, for actors, for writers to come over to Vancouver, get into the Canadian industry to start to understand and prepare for the North American market. I started putting it all in one place and have new interviews and audio going up there, and that's, I call it Screen Speak Live.
Love that.
So it's, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's really cool. Great. It's really cool. So yeah, anybody that is interested in that, they can check out screenspeak.com.au.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Dave. That's it's so nice that like you've got all this knowledge and to be able to share that with everyone else. So I think that's such a big part of our industry, to really share and inspire and uplift each other, so we can all, you know, find our little pathways that we're meant to be on. That's really lovely. What's the film called that you were working on that's now being re-edited?
The original edit was called Darkest Corner, uh-huh. As in the darkest corner of the mind, but it's, it's about two siblings trapped in a post-apocalyptic world. They end up being cornered by a cult militia.
Oh, wow.
So, but for the re-edit, we're rebranding it and calling it Dark Corners.
Okay.
So Darkest Corner, now Dark Corners. And it has it's a series concept now too. So developed a pitch package.
Cool.
And started developing a script. It's been very early days, but started developing a script for, taking the short to the next level. Short form series would be really cool, especially if shooting sci-fi series in Australia starts to become more of a norm. I would love that to be one of the front runners. But it's been you learn a lot, Anna, as far as making that was my first film and first release, first festival as a filmmaker, and that whole process you learn so much, and so now going into getting another chance to refine it, make it better, make the story flow better for audiences. The standard here is really high for short film. Not that it isn't in Australia, but it's so close to LA that's there. They get a lot of submissions coming out of there, and and vice versa. So yeah, it's a high North American standard, and so that's where we want to be punching.
Yeah, for sure. It's like you don't really think about that. Like, I've never really thought like the difference in even just a short film that would be so different here in Australia than what it is over there in Canada or the States. But it's exciting though to be able to work on such different things and to be able to revamp it if you need to suit a different market. It's really exciting, and it's great for, like, I love hearing that people are just going for what they want to do and just making it happen.
Well, you've so got to, really you've got to, sure. Don't you, Anna? You really, like, you've only got we've only got the opportunities that we bring to ourselves, especially in the Australian industry as well. Mm. You know, there's so much is on our shoulders to create our own opportunities. So we've got to do it. You can't sit back.
Yeah, definitely. So with that said, how's your isolation going, and what have you been doing creatively in this weird time in the world?
Well, I'm trying to be more disciplined in terms of looking after my body and my mind, starters. So that involves, working out and trying to stay, trying to improve my fitness, not just maintain things. So that's been great. Creatively, I've been writing a lot. So there's a series I created. It's in very bare bones, might I add. It was a pilot script that was 20 pages long, so too short. It was a web series, but too long to be a web series. But it was something I wrote over 2 years ago, and when I sent it out and submitted it, I hadn't got much back, but. When I emailed it out to some producer buddies, it got some really good feedback, and people really enjoyed reading it. So
awesome.
I decided to dust that off under the advisal of a buddy of mine, and started submitting that again and revamped everything. It's the script or the pilot of the series is called Stuck Home Syndrome.
Love
so
it.
So that, yeah, yeah. And it seems pretty on point right now.
Yeah.
So, so it is based on a young female comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And she's stuck at home with her family. And so is the older brother.
Yeah.
And then there's a younger brother too. So she's got that classic middle child situation going on. Mm-hmm. But it felt right to now frame it and put them in the viral lockdown that essentially we're all facing.
Yeah.
It's a little more heightened because it's a comedy. It's a comedy drama. So it's a little more heightened than maybe what we're facing.
Mm.
But nonetheless, I want it to feel people to feel like they are really relating to it. So I've been building up that pitch package, and we're submitted to a few bodies for funding for that because there's a lot of funding going into script development right now.
Yeah, great.
And I think the next horizon is cutting a sizzle reel, like a sizzle teaser, sizzle trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
So just progressing that pocket project and a bunch of other scripts, Yeah. Just
how exciting.
So much writing out of it. There's a lot of time. Mm. And then on top of that, I guess cutting new reels for my acting and getting my website on point. And all those things that hopefully those actors out there that are don't have any dependents and don't have too many other responsibilities to face are doing similar, because now's the time to get the arsenal ready.
Yes. That's what I'm like. I'm like, at the end of this thing, I'm going to be ready to go. So
ready. So freaking ready.
Like the first 3 weeks was a bit weird for me because I was like triggered by people out like Bondi. I'm in Bondi. And it was
I love Bondi.
It's cold now. So I can't. It's cold.
I live in Canada, Anna. Cold.
Oh, true. Okay. Yeah, true, true. I don't know how you do it in Canada. It's so cold from what I've heard. The first few weeks here was really weird and just this thing's actually real. Like the shops are all shutting down, except for essential stuff. And I got a job in a health food store just before it all blew up here. So I'm still working.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's good. And, it gets me out and it's a lovely job and everything. It's just like weird that it worked out like that, but I didn't know the coronavirus was going to be a real thing. That's where I was at the start. I'm like, oh, people are like buying food, like stop stressing. That's where I was.
I'm sure you weren't like food, toilet paper. When I was in Sydney. Gosh. Yeah. Well, cause I was in Sydney. I got back just before all this kicked off, Dana. Literally the day I landed, I was in LAX waiting for my flight to land here back in Vancouver. And I got a call from my buddy that basically said, I know how you're coming back to work on Supernatural with me. It's shutting down. It's going to be 2 weeks, but hopefully that'll be okay. And that was, I guess that was 6 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Or 7 weeks ago now. So that was a bit of a shock to the system. But when I was passing through Sydney, it was kind of like, the start of, Shaun of the Dead, when there's just like a hint of zombie, but like zombie hasn't quite like hit yet.
I haven't seen it, but I can picture it.
You haven't seen Shaun of the Dead? Oh, no, dude.
Need to.
It's got Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Definitely worth a watch, especially given we all have an abundance of time to watch things now.
True.
But there's kind of a hint of there's something wrong, a zombie apocalypse right now. Yeah. And my first inkling that something was going weird was when I was coming to Sydney and my buddy asked me for us to bring our own toilet paper.
Really?
That was literally the week that there was that spike of everyone buying toilet paper. And he's just like, hey mate, can you, you're welcome to come stay and all that stuff, but can you bring toilet paper? It's like, yeah, I guess.
I can go to the shops maybe.
Yeah. Cool.
Wow.
Very bizarre. So.
Crazy times.
Weird times. It's unavoidable, isn't it? I mean, it is what the reality is what it is. And it's how we come out of it. It's how we frame it positively for ourselves. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, there's things that we can do for other people. But the best thing we can do is stay home and stay busy and mentally okay. So,
yeah.
So it just makes sense to be home, be creative, be productive, you know, stay fit, eat well, get all those personal things done. Time to be a little bit selfish.
Yeah, I totally agree. Time to go inner and really kind of realize, you know, for me, I've been doing like really going deep, been like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Like, what do I want to achieve? Releasing things that no longer serve me. It's been like a deep journey inwards, this coronavirus thing. And if I guess like if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't be realizing all this stuff, and I wouldn't be doing things that I wouldn't be doing if coronavirus wasn't here. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kind of I'm exactly the same.
Yeah. So like what have your ways of, I guess, coping in like everyday kind of thing? Like what do you do for mindfulness, or what kind of allows you to do that for yourself?
So there are a few things that I like to do at least every day, just to kind of, I call it, because of the pilot, the series I wrote, Stockholm Syndrome. Mm. I like to call it staving off the Stockholm Syndrome, staving off SHS, right?
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's easy to kind of get aggro with the people you either chose to spend the time with or not spend the time with, isolate with. Maybe, you know, you chose to go home and stay with your family. Maybe you already lived at home and then everybody else came home and you're like, oh shit, I didn't want to see that person. Now I'm stuck with them. Yeah. And maybe you have housemates that you wouldn't normally spend a lot of time with because, you know, we're all busy, busy, busy. Mm. And then all of a sudden you're spending, you know, 7 days a week in each other's pockets. So
yeah,
it is I've found it's an important time to have like those strategies. So personally, I like to do some form of meditation each day. Now that could be like, sometimes it'll be like sitting in a chair and breathing. And there are a lot of great apps, but sometimes it'll be like walking meditation, being out walking. I like to do fasted cardio, as in like I haven't eaten yet that day, nice and hydrated. Maybe I've had a black coffee or something, and I'll just be walking and drinking and listening to something and do that for 30, 45 minutes and feels golden, golden. I feel like if the brain's buzzing a bit too much as well, I've been using notepads and post-its like it's no one's business.
Yeah.
I'm not a tree's friend in isolation, but I will make up for it afterwards.
Yes, of course.
But, so trying to get everything out of the brain and down on paper, just so that we don't put too much of that pressure on ourselves. So I'm very much a self-diagnosed, self-confessed workaholic. Yeah. I love what I do big time, telling stories, writing, acting, all of this. So so it's making that time to switch off. So having at least a day per week where there's little to no screens.
Yeah.
That's where your notepads are really, really handy. Just jotting down anything that you're like, oh, I really want to, you know, put this up, or, oh, I really just wanted to edit this thing, and you just like write it down, can do it tomorrow.
Yeah. I love that. It's so important to have a break from like work or screens and just to chill out
and get some reading done.
Yeah.
You know, go extend your walk that day. Mm. You know, maybe in the evening you might watch something on the screen, on the TV, but it'll be a very specific choice. It won't be a kind of mindless streaming. It'll be a more like, oh, we've been saying we're going to watch this for ages, and it's an amazing film, and there's something that you might learn from it. So, so I'll watch that, and I think those are pretty much the key things. And other than that, trying to keep a fitness habit of some kind. So fasted cardio helps there, but then some form of workout, 30 minutes a day would be the other thing. Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm like the same. It's like every day I kind of just tune into like what I'm feeling like I need to do that day. Like this morning, I usually, like I would love to journal, gratitude, meditate every single day, but some days I just don't feel like sitting in my bed writing. And I'm, yeah, I just learned that I don't have to do it every single day to like still be in tune with who I am. So like this morning, for example, I dreamt last night and I was like, I'm going to write in my dream journal. So I wrote in my dream journal so I could remember it because it was a weird dream. And then I needed to get stuff, but my head was very active this morning. So, and then I did some journaling and then I did a meditation. And, but some days it's like, I've been doing some sunrises, like waking up and watching the sunrise, which has been really nice. And yeah, also just getting into like, or continuing, I should say, my exercise, but not forcing myself to do something every, like a workout per se, like a body weight workout every single day. Cause sometimes I just feel like doing yoga or going for a walk. Cause I walk to work, so I don't get on the bus. So twice a week I'm walking like an hour, which is really nice. And just making sure I get in the sun. Cause the sun like is incredibly powerful and I strongly believe in that.
You don't have to tell me I'm a ginger. Sun is extremely powerful. Yeah. it's different in different countries, but the vitamin D is massive and it's a huge thing here, Anna, because during when winter, autumn and winter get here, it rains and you don't see the sun for like 6 months, really.
Yeah,
maybe you get a handful of days. So vitamin D supplementing is a big thing. And I think everyone should be doing it now because a lot of time spent inside.
Yeah, for sure. And like having the vitamin D, like there's studies and everything on it that it's an antibacterial, it kills bacteria and it just allows us to be, every time I'm feeling off, like in the past, I've always been like, you know, making sure I'm eating well and the sun. So the sun's like such a big part of my life, especially like living in Australia, as you would know, where you get very strong sun. So making the most of that.
I don't miss that.
You don't? I would. No. See, I would miss it a lot.
I mean, it's beautiful and sunny here, but it's like my kind of sunny, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, there's no hole in the ozone layer. True. And it's just a bit easier on the skin.
Yeah. I felt when I was in LA, I was like, I got home and I got a little bit like, you know, bronzed or whatever, but, and even the European sun was not as strong. And I got back and I went to the Gold Coast, met up with a friend. We were on the beach for a couple of hours. And I got home, I was like, oh my God. And my housemate was like, was that from the Gold Coast? I'm like, yep. I got so tanned within like 2 hours. And I know I tan easily, but I didn't realize the difference in the sun. I was like, oh my God, like American and European sun is so much less intense than that we have here.
It's true, yeah. Oh yeah, even I tan in LA. Even really? I tan in the Los Angeles sun, even for a ginger, I tan. So or in Europe, I in Italy, I've been on holiday in Italy and I tan. Like, but in Australia, it's so brutal that if there's no time, I just burn immediately. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it is.
That makes sense. Was it just kind
pretty
of
nuts? Straight?
Wow. Yeah.
You got to watch that. I've had run-ins with melanoma. It runs in my family. So you got to be sun smart. You got to be careful about that stuff. You really got to be, especially in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah. So right.
Capitals, skin cancer capitals of the world.
Yep. Got to be careful there.
So get your vitamin D.
Yes.
But also don't forget
to be safe about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or supplement it.
Yeah. I've never supplemented it. I might, you know, if ever I have to move to Canada or America, maybe I will.
You would. You would, especially. Yeah. It sounds like your skin deals with it really well, but it's the deprivation that you're going to adjust. Yeah. And it's a real thing.
But, and then I've kind of just, you know, I've started. Well, I've always eaten well, but, you know, just really revamping that and just making sure I'm not eating too late. And then I feel good when I wake up in the morning and just having more bone broth and just making sure.
Nice.
Just, you know, I allow myself, because I'm working with nutritionists and stuff like that, to really heal my gut and everything. And like once a week, like I'll have pancakes on a Saturday or Sunday morning and I have like dessert once or twice a week. But then I'm not depriving myself, but I'm not overdoing it either. So just making those things a habit, because I've always, like, you know, it's been a constant thing. And I realized like ages ago that, you know, I'd eat a good dinner and but then I'd go and have some nut butter and then some more. And then I realized, why am I doing this? And I was like, because like my ego, my subconscious is like, no, like we've got stuff to do. Like you've got stuff to do that's going to propel you in your career and your life. We're just going to do what's normal and eat so we can stop you. I was like, oh my God. So once I realized that, big real, and scrolling on social media, that's another thing I'm trying to not.
One of my favorite comedians, Bill Burr, does a great bit on that. I won't say it because he does swear, but he's like, you ever just had like you go down to McDonald's, you get an Egg McMuffin, and you like, you eat that, you're laying on the couch, and you're like, you know what? My dreams. I don't care.
Yeah, that's not true.
Like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's something to that as well. I think I like that you're working on your gut health. That's a massive one, eh? Mm. I think I drink a lot of black coffee, and I think I'm very guilty of putting my gut through a lot. You've got to go through those cycle off it, and
Because
it can erode, it can ruin your gut permeability. I think.
Okay. So, well, there you go.
Issue there. Yeah, you can get a leaky gut if you're not healing, or you're not having something that's counteracting that.
Gut health massive. It's like people now, all these studies are coming out like of, you know, the gut is our second brain.
Second brain. Who knew?
It's like all these things that go, like we think bloating's normal and we think all these things are normal, but then if we work with someone or we start to research ourselves, it's like, oh, how I'm feeling after I eat every time is not normal. So it's just normal. I'm learning a lot even more about like how bodies and how my body works. And it's just every single day and like all the time, like whether it be life, our bodies, our career, whatever it is, I think like we're always going to be on this constant journey of discovery and learning, which is exciting. Sometimes it's like, oh, like really, I've grown so much. Can I grow anymore? But it's like, no, we're always going to be on a growth journey, whatever we're doing in whatever area of our life it is, which is exciting because we have the choice to do that. And we have the power to be like, okay, no, I want to change my life. I'm going to stop scrolling, or I'm going to start decreasing it, or whatever it is. And I think that's really exciting. And once we realize that we have that power to choose our life and create our reality, then it's like, what can happen? It's exciting.
Will Smith, right? Will Smith has a great quote. It's like, you make a choice. You just decide. And that's absolutely true. I think so.
Yeah.
There's a book that I'm listening to again right now. Those are the things that I listen to when I walk. Mm. I can recommend two of his books, actually. His name's Stephen Pressfield, and he wrote The War of Art.
I've heard of that. I haven't read it yet, though.
Fantastic book. It's about beating resistance. You know,
okay.
It personifies, or I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, but it embodies resistance. It identifies it as like this actual thing, this force that you're battling on a day-to-day basis. And some days you might win, some days you might not.
Yeah, wow.
But the real pros gets up and sits in the chair and does the work. So part of that book is called Turning Pro, and that's, he's released that again as a different book because it's like the pivotal moment that he remembers he had at the age of 31, where he just, everything changed. He just was turning pro, basically. He made that decision for himself, and that's when he started finishing and releasing his books, I should say. Yeah. And
I love that. I mean,
the work speaks for itself, but that book really resonates with me. Stephen Pressfield is incredible author. Yeah, War of Art was a game changer, especially if you're a writer.
Yeah, okay. I need to check it out then, because I'm getting into writing now. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's like playing God.
Yeah.
Without offending anybody, you are playing God in your mind. You are creating from
literally nothing.
It's very cool.
It's very cool. Awesome. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. Thanks, Dave. Is there anything that you want to end on, you want to share with the world?
No, I think declaring that I'm God is a really good way to end this. Just ginger Jesus. No, I'm kidding, and I do not mean that in any way for those of you playing at home. I do want to leave on a positive note and say that anybody out there that is doing it tough, definitely seek help. And, you know, there would be someone out there that cares. Mm-hmm. And always reach out. I know Anna and I are two people that would absolutely be there for people, for anyone that's listening that's having a tough time and just struggling to be like, should you stay in the industry? Should you leave?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this the time? Is this a sign? I say just talk it out with someone and figure out if this is really what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to stick it out? If not, then no one will think any less of you. Because this is unprecedented, as they say. This is not a usual time. And maybe you need to step away and do something else for a while and come back to this. That's what I would say. And along with that, don't give up if you were thinking about Canada or Vancouver, Anna. So I think you need to be thinking about it and checking out ScreenSpeak Live. And we've got lots of free content going up, and we've got our Patreon channel as well, which there's free stuff on Patreon. I think everyone thinks that you only can subscribe to access stuff on Patreon.
Yeah.
But we've got free stuff on there. And then if you subscribe, you get like the super cool stuff, the super detailed stuff. You get more tailored videos for your situation. And just creating that sweet mentor loop so that people can learn from my mistakes and my friends' mistakes coming over and getting set up in Vancouver so that people save their money, save their time, and kick ass over here.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you for that.
No worries.
And if people want to connect with you in other ways, where is the best place they can find you?
Definitely at Instagram at Dave_Beamish. That's the best way. If you want to get in touch, you can DM me. If you want to just reach out and email something through, something to read, something to consider as an offer, you can reach the inbox is contact@davebeamish.media. And I mean, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and all those fun things. Definitely follow @ScreenSpeak Live as well if you're interested in that type of stuff.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, thanks,
no worries,
Dave, for jumping on. It's been a great conversation. So if you guys want to tag us in this episode, please do so. Let us know what you think. Connect with us. We're here to chat, to connect. That's why we do this. And thank you all for listening to A Patch of Happiness with Anna Patch and Dave Beamish this week. I will see you all next week. And again, if you want to connect with me, my Instagram is @AnnaPatch_, or my email is hello@AnnaPatch.com.au. So I'll speak to you all next week and have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye everyone. Thanks, Dave.